Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this episode of the podcast, we talk about a major milestone for the podcast and the Dutchman himself on his birthday, Norm Van Brocklin. It's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to your football history headlines and your birthdays of Hall of Famers for this March 15th. The Ides of March are upon us, and it wasn't so good for Caesar, but it is a great day here in the Pigpen. And yesterday, I don't know if you subtly heard it in our greatest number 17s in NFL history podcast we had on last night, but that was episode 200. We have gone to milestone of number 200. This is episode 201 you're listening right now, and we could have not have done it without your help, the listeners of the Pigpen, and we really appreciate you, all that you've done, just in review, you know, your support. You're emailing us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, telling us what you want to hear, what you like, what you don't, how you like our guests, giving support on social media. You know, by the way, Twitter, we're at Pigskin Dispatch, and Facebook, we're Pigskin Dispatch on there also. Not too hard to remember those. But the support of financially by like buying cups of coffee and supporting our sponsors that are on the pages of the website, those go a long way to helping us keep this program going each and every day and give us the funds to pay for things like the internet bills and media hosting and all kinds of crazy things like that. So we really appreciate that, to give you the best quality product that we can. And if you are interested in doing that, you can still buy us a cup of coffee on that front page of pigskindispatch.com. Up in the upper right hand corner, there's a spot that says buy me a cup of coffee, and just a small donation of anything, and we will send you, probably about a week from now, March 23rd is when our series on the number 20 comes out for the greatest players in NFL history to wear jersey number 20. We will send you our top player lists for 0 through 20 to any donation made on pigskindispatch.com. So that's something to get rewarded for your great work out there, and we really appreciate it. Now, let's get to your football history headlines. March 15th, 1898, Wakefield, Nebraska. Clarence Swanson, the fantastic end from the University of Nebraska, arrived in the world. Swanson's story was at its height in 1921 season when Nebraska entered a game against Colorado State with a record of 6-1, according to the NFF. Clarence had an unbelievable performance as he set a school record when he caught 3 touchdown passes in that game. This record stood for 50 years before the All-American and great Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Rogers matched it in 1971 in a game against Minnesota. Think about that, 1921 to catch 3 touchdown passes. Now that's just phenomenal, because in college football, the forward pass just came on strong 15 years before. That's when it became legalized. It wasn't even coming on strong then. People were still trying to figure it out. We just had the great author of Amos Alonzo's Stag will be coming on, Jennifer Taylor Hall. And she tells a tale that in 1910, that Stag was working on some formations and stuff for the forward pass. So the forward pass is only a decade old, and it's still in its infancy in 1921. And, Clarence Swanson catching 3 touchdown passes in one game, very remarkable. No wonder it lasted for 50 years. Anyway, the Huskers demolished the CSU squad 70-7 on that day, powered by Swanson's performance. Swanson was an All-American in 1921, and the only team to beat the Cornhuskers was the powerful Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, as they narrowly overcame Nebraska 7-0. I mean, think about the 1921. Newt Rockne is the head coach at Notre Dame, so that tells you what a powerhouse they were. The National Football Foundation inducted Clarence Swanson into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1973. Now, here's our feature story. March 15th, 1926, Parade, South Dakota. The legendary Oregon quarterback, Norm Van Brocklin, also known as the Dutchman, was born. The footballfoundation.org tells how Norm was cool, calm, and collected with the ball in his hand. He could quickly read the defenses and do what came automatically to him and find the open receiver for a gain. His NFF bio goes on to describe that he was fast to learn and a good quarterback that watched the defense, not his receivers. Norm was gifted with a peripheral vision that allowed him to take into view the entire panorama of the play. Van Brocklin earned All-America honors in 1948 with the Ducks. Now, think about what he just said in that statement. You know, he watched the defense, not his receivers. He was reacting to what the defense was doing, not what the play call was. And that is a very common theme in today's game when you talk about the quarterbacks looking through all the reads and, you know, figuring out what the defense is doing and, you know, knowing, you know, should they run in a zone and my wide receivers have to read it too. Should my wide receiver sit down in that zone and I, you know, pop a little pass in the hole? Or is he, you know, man to man and he's got to, you know, beat him on a single move or double move? You know, you got all these things, factors going into the game. And Van Brocklin was sort of the pioneer of that for the modern day quarterback when you think about it. We've talked about Van Brocklin quite a bit in some of our Football by Numbers series for his great number with some of our great guests that we've had on there. In 1966, Norm Van Brocklin's collegiate story was placed into the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, the Dutchman left Oregon while still having a year of eligibility left at the college level. The Rams used their number 4 pick in the 1949 draft to pick Norm, but the only issue was LA already had a future Hall of Fame quarterback under center in place in Bob Waterfield. The Pro Football Hall of Fame says that even still, Van Brocklin won the NFL passing title in both 1950 and 1952, even though he was playing only half the time on offense. They did a share role and had two different quarterbacks, Waterfield and Van Brocklin, coming out sort of in a platoon system. You know, I guess the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks. I'm not sure that held true for the early 50s Rams, because when you have Waterfield and Van Brocklin on there and you're winning a lot of games and, you know, Van Brocklin's winning the passing titles playing part-time, that is a pretty good situation to be in. Van Brocklin added a third passing championship in 1954. Norm went on to great heights at the professional level as he played for both the LA Rams, as we talked about, and the Philadelphia Eagles, leading Philly to the NFL's championship title in 1960. His best day of a pro, though, was a 1954 game against the New York Yanks when the Dutchman threw for 554 yards in just that one contest. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Norm Van Brocklin in 1971. Now let's think about that. 1954. We're just less than a decade out of the World War II. Still, the running game is very prominent. Van Brocklin is, you know, only in, you know, his fourth or fifth year in the NFL. 554 yards, 1954. Wow. That's all I can say there. That is just a phenomenal passing experience and display of talent by Norm Van Brocklin, one of the greats of the game, and definitely worth being in the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And if you can visit any of those museums or both of them and see Van Brocklin's display, definitely worth your time and effort. Let's go to our final Hall of Famer that has a birthday on this March 15th, and he was born in 1937 in Osage, Iowa. The Iowa Hawkeyes quarterback Randy Duncan was born. The College Football Hall of Fame enshrined him in 1997. The National Football Foundation has a great biography of Duncan, where they say that after sitting behind starter Kenny Flone in 1956, who led the Hawkeyes to the Big Ten championship and a Rose Bowl victory, Duncan was Iowa's starting quarterback in 1957 and 1958. The team had a record of 15-2-2, and in 1958, they won the Big Ten Championship and beat California 38-12 in the Rose Bowl with Duncan at the helm. Duncan piled up those honors in 1958. The Helms Foundation Player of the Year, Walter Camp Foundation Player of the Year, and a first in the nation in passing and yardage, according to the NFF, and first in the nation in percentage of passes completed, a co-leader in the nation in touchdown passes, and a unanimous All-America selection. He was the runner-up to Pete Dawkins of Army in the Heisman Trophy voting, too. I mean, what a player he must have been. Too bad I'm a little bit too young to have watched him play. But, gosh, just the statistics that you see of this man in an Iowa Hawkeyes uniform, especially after coming, you know, off the bench watching a year of a great starter in Kenny Plone for the Hawkeyes. The voting members of the National Football Foundation selected Randy Duncan for induction to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. Wow, those are some great quarterbacks that we talked about today. You know, I'm sure everybody's heard of Van Brocklin, but Randy Duncan, another one that just comes out that I'm not sure, you know, where these folks have been hiding in history, but every time I read about some of these great people, and then, you know, the great end, Clarence Swanson, too, today that we talked about, with having his unbelievable three-touchdown game in 1921. Those are just some phenomenal athletes and great accomplishments by these athletes in eras where you wouldn't expect them to be happening. And I'm sure they were just big for the day and big headlines, and the fan base probably just went wild over it. Too bad they didn't have talk radio and podcasts back then, because they would be the talk of the airwaves and the internet back then. So, we're sure glad you joined us once again. Like we said, this is episode 201, and special thanks to you, the Pigpen listeners, to get us there. You can find a lot of great other podcasts on our partners on the sportshistorynetwork.com. There's podcasts about all kinds of sports history. We just had one the other day on Korfball. If you want to find out what Korfball is, you know, make sure you go see Jamie Furness's podcast on there to find out what Korfball, because it's an interesting thing altogether. We get all these podcasters from all around the world. It's not just football, but we have baseball and hockey and wrestling and all kinds of forgotten heroes. You know, Warren Rogan does a great job there. Just some phenomenal podcasts. Make sure you check it out, sportshistorynetwork.com. You can also go to our flagship podcast website of pigskindispatch.com, and if you hit /podcast after entering that in, you'll see all of our podcasts, all 201 of them, right there for your listening pleasure. If you want to catch up on some things or just do some binge listening, or, you know, go back and say, hey, you know, what did he say back on February 10th? You know, go back and check those out, because we have 6 months worth there. You know, like I said, 201 episodes as of this episode, and we're adding more every single day, because we podcast every day to preserve football history and bring you that history each and every day. Bring a little bit of football into your life, take you away from the real life situations that may be stressful. We want to give you a little bit of peace of mind, a little bit of positivity in the game of football for you to enjoy, and we hope you do. You know, let us know what you're thinking. pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @pigskindispatch, Facebook, Pigskin Dispatch, Instagram, Pigskin Dispatch. So real easy to get a hold of us, real easy to find us. And we also have been participating on Reddit in the R Sports History section of Reddit. We'd like you to join us there and, you know, check out our daily, you know, on this Gridiron Day post that we have there as well. And, like to see some feedback and, you know, talk a little bit with me on any of these social platforms. I'll be sure to glad to answer you back, either email or on the DMs of any of the social platforms. We want to talk with you, and we appreciate you from all over the world, our listenership, and it's just a great thing. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.